Thank you, John. So I was just going to say that it's not just stand there with a bad back. So when you were praying, I included myself in the prayer. Yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah, so over the past, I think, 5 or 6 weeks, my life has been like a roller coaster. So 3 of those weeks, I was leading services in different churches. And then 2 of those weeks, I was doing the journey from Manchester to London. One was for a sad event. I lost our eldest sister. But then last week was a more joyful event. My good old father turned 90. So because we lost our sister recently, he's decided he doesn't want a party. So we decided the alternative was to have a Thanksgiving service for him at his local church and then receptions after, which we thought it would just be family. But at the end of the day, we ended up with almost 200 people. And it was just amazing, and to see my dad really crying with excitement, you know. So I thank God for the work that he's giving us to do as his children. And I thank Mount Chapel for giving me this opportunity to bring God's word to you this morning. So let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable unto you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So today I'm going to start with questions. You know, questions are very important in our day-to-day lives. In fact, even when I came in this morning, Mark came to speak to me, and the first question he asked me, "What are you preaching about today?" So questions are good. And I think he was the American psychologist called J.G. Miller who suggested that there are 15 reasons why we ask questions. I know that we want to limit the time of my speaking, so I won't go into all 15. But I've actually selected 5, which I thought are relevant to the message that we're bringing this morning. So the first reason that J.G. Miller suggested was that we ask questions to start a conversation. So like I said this morning when Mark came up to me, we looked at each other and wanted to start a conversation. He asked me a question. Another reason for asking questions is to acquire knowledge. I have a lot of these at work where the young graduates would phone me up and they believe that I am this all singing, all dancing font of knowledge, which I'm not. But they would still ask me questions. So what I've said to them is, even me, I don't know everything. But what they should develop is the habit that if you don't know something, at least know where to get the answer from. So from my perspective, if I'm asked a question about my faith, I refer to the Bible. Because that, for me, is the focus of everything I am and everything that I believe in. The third reason that I want to talk about for asking questions, you ask a question to gain someone's attention. So like I know some time ago I was talking to George about, Red Moss Road we were talking about, and you asked me, you know, which number was I, you know, just throughout, at least to gain my attention. Okay. The fourth point is you ask a question to guide the conversation in the direction that you want it to follow. And finally, I've chosen the fifth point, fifth reason of asking a question. You ask a question to eliminate confusion. You don't understand what's going on, so you ask the question. You just want to be clear as to what is going on. So as Helen said, I decided to deviate from your Luke's gospel that you've been following over the past few months, because it is customary during the period of Lent, when you reflect, to look at series of one-to-one conversations that Jesus had as recorded in the Bible. So I apologize for deviating from your normal, but I just want to talk to you about Jesus's one-to-one conversation, an unlikely conversation between Jesus and the woman of Samaria, a woman who was considered an outsider with no social standing. So if you could put the passage, the Bible passage is quite long, so I don't intend to read it all. So I think I asked if you could put it on the screen for us so we would just reflect on it, please. Thank you very much. And the passage is John's Gospel, chapter 4. And so we are told that Jesus and his disciples were traveling from Judea to Galilee, I think roughly about 70 miles, apparently. And you can imagine those days, there were no fancy cars, no BMWs, John. There was no... So it was a hard-yours journey to travel long distances. So after they've traveled about 30 miles, they decided to take a pit stop, one of the fancy service stations that we have on the motorway. So they stopped at a place called Sychar, where there's a well. Obviously, tired from the journey, Jesus and his disciples wanted to have a drink and also have something to eat. So while his disciples went off to get some food, Jesus chose to have a quiet time alone, sat by the well. And along came this Samaritan woman to get water from the well. So for reasons of prejudice, Jesus would have been within his right not to speak to her, to ignore her. The reasons being that A, she was a woman. B, she was a woman of Samaria. And for historical reasons, the Jews despised the Samaritans. And they never mix. And here we see a rabbi, a teacher, a Jewish teacher, getting into conversation with a Samaritan woman, completely unheard of in Jesus' day. And thirdly, this particular woman, as the Bible says, had a checkered history. She's been married several times, but also the man that she's living with at the moment is not even her husband. So for all of those reasons, Jesus could have been within his rights to ignore her. This woman, we're told, is loaded with guilt and shame. But yet still, Jesus did not ignore her. And as we read in verse 8, Jesus, to start the conversation, he asked her a question. He says, "Can I have a drink, please?" So, this woman, the first thing she saw looking at Jesus, perhaps, was perhaps the way he was dressed. She knew straight away that he was a Jewish rabbi. So she asked him the question, another question. This time, this woman is trying to steer the conversation in her direction. So she asked Jesus, "How comes you, a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan, for a drink?" And then the conversation started. Before long, this conversation then moved from just water, which was Jesus' immediate need at the time, thirsty from travel. It then moved towards the spiritual refreshment, which Jesus considered that this woman is in need of. And here is the first lesson that we learn from this passage. Today, most of us, when we get into conversations, our conversations are shallow. And before we could let each other speak of what our concerns are, we tend to just jump into what we believe they want to hear. And that's the difference with Jesus. He let the woman speak of what is concerning to her. And he allowed the woman to drive the conversation in the way that she wanted to move it. So we have to learn that sometimes it's best if we set aside our own concerns in order to listen or to speak to the vulnerable people in our communities. So let us continue with the same unlikely conversation. It is not advisable to go and get water in Jesus' day in the middle of the day because the temperature is hot. So most, inverted commas, decent people would go and draw water either first thing in the morning or in the evening. So you ask yourself the question, why did this woman think that the best time for her to go and get water is when the sun is boiling hot, which is considered to be a very tiresome activity? Maybe because of her checkered past, but also maybe because of her checkered past, the people in her community had shunned her and ostracized her, and she felt ashamed to come out when everybody else is out. That's the other lesson that we must learn. That sometimes we must be careful about what we do and what we say to one another that would impact their behavior for the worse. And that's what would have a negative impact on their future life. So this woman, rather than being spoken to with disrespect, she felt it was better to brave the heat of the burning sun and go out and get her water, because she thought there would be nobody around at that time. You see, like I said before, Jesus had reasons to ignore her, but he didn't. Jesus treated her as a human being. He acknowledged that she could do something for him, but also, on the reverse, she allowed her to tell her story. Can we, as Christians, follow Jesus' example? So the question I would ask you first now, who is the Samaritan in your life today? Who is the person that you look down on and you consider as an outcast? The person that you would prefer to ignore? Do we as Christians acknowledge people as people with gifts, people with skills, people with something to offer, But we do not consider them as people with needs also. So we only look at them for what they can give us, but not what they need from us. Do we know people in our community, or even in this church, who are being ignored, or even worse? And the question is, what are we doing about it? I don't know if you watched the musical, or in fact there was a film about this, My Fair Lady. So, Eliza Doolittle and Professor Higgins teaching Eliza how to be posh. But then, talking to her about love, how you need to love yourself, how you need to love other people. And there is a point in the musical where Eliza Doolittle cries out, "Do not talk to me about love. Show me." You see, sometimes we talk and talk and talk, but then our actions do not align with our thoughts and our speech. So as a church, what are we doing to show love? Not just to those of us who are here today, but our neighbors, our friends at work, our colleagues. As John said this morning, today is Mothering Sunday. And John has given you the history behind it, so I wouldn't bother. And all of that ticks the box, John. But I think traditionally, it's a day when we must not just thank God for our mothers, but also for people who have shown motherly love towards us. People who have been very instrumental in our upbringing. So, it is also a time to thank God for His love for us. But then we must consider as well that Mothering Sunday can be a very difficult time for other people. I remember when my mother first, the time when my mother died, the few months after, a few years after, every Mothering Sunday was a difficult time for me. Because my mother was, for me, the best thing that happened to me. She was the person, if I was down, I would run to. She was the person that nurtured my faith. My dad was there, granted and respected, to mete out punishment when I do wrong. But my mother was there to show love to me. And that's what God is asking us this Mothering Sunday. We must show love not just to our mothers. We must also think of people who have lost their mothers, children who have lost their mothers. We must also think of women who are finding it difficult to have kids. I remember when my youngest sister was going through difficulty as well, to have kids. And I would remember her every Mothering Sunday and pray for her. And when we were told that she was expecting, that was one of the most joyful moments in the family. So, Mothering Sunday, we pray for our mothers. We pray also for people that we know that are struggling for various reasons. We also pray for people who have influenced us positively in our lives. So let us pray. Loving God, today we want to thank you for a mother's love and her costly care. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that your own mother, Mary's life, showed what it meant to be blessed as a mother. It was not a life free from sorrow, but rather a life that was held safe in the hands of God. So this morning, as we celebrate Mothering Sunday, we pray that you help all those who are mothers and those who care like mothers. Help them to trust that whatever happens, you, our mighty God that we serve, you will surround them with your loving arms, which will protect them from danger all the days of their lives. This we pray in the mighty name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I think I did ask as a response. Ellen, I don't know if we've got that ready. And so, I want us to say the grace, but it's in a different way. If we can raise a smile, all of us, seeing this Mother's Day, and let us turn to one another and say the grace with love. Let us pray. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Sammy.
I wasn't sure whether you wanted me to say that. You don't mind, do you?
Okay. Yes, thank you, Sammy, for that wonderful word and those thoughts. There was one thing that you said to me that spoke to me. You said Jesus would have been within his rights not to speak to this Samaritan woman. And I thought, how will that change the narrative when he didn't stand on his rights? He showed compassion and humility and respect for that woman. And I just thought, you know, in this world today, we live in an age of people standing on their rights, an age of entitlement. And what a difference it makes when we, instead of doing that, when we take up an attitude of gratitude, not entitlement, but gratitude, when we listen more and speak less to people. And how that changes the narrative of the way we live. So a wonderful word. Thank you for that, Sammy, this morning. And bless you. We're going to go for coffee now. Maybe don't listen too much and speak too little, because otherwise it would be very quiet in the room with the coffee, won't it? But do just think about those things, you know, that we're so... Often we stand on our rights, but let's show compassion and humility and respect for others in all that we do. Amen.